We don't have anybody in our church 100. But let's suppose tonight that Mr. Roush came to church smiling. That would be in itself a wonderful, wonderful change. And let's suppose he came to church smiling. And I said, Ed, what's up? He says, boy, you won't believe it. I said, what is it? And he said, it's going to happen in 9 months. I said, Ed, good night, no. Yeah, my wife's going to have a baby. I'd say, I don't believe it. I don't believe it. And you would too. But let's go even farther than that. Well, we better not go any farther than that. But, I mean, when 100-year-old Abraham heard about his wife Sarah, 90, going to give birth to a baby, Abraham laughed. And when Abraham was telling it to a young man, Sarah overheard him. Sarah also laughed. But God overheard Abraham as he was sharing this news, this amazing news with this young man. And God asked this question in Genesis chapter 18 and verse 14. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Is anything too hard for the Lord? I wish God's people would get a hold of that question. God said it. Is anything too hard for the Lord? When the Israelites were in the wilderness, they cried for flesh in Numbers chapter 11. They said, we want flesh. We're tired of this manna. They called it this light bread. We're tired of it. We want flesh to eat. And God heard their complaining and heard their cry. He came down and he said, you're going to have flesh to eat in the wilderness. Not just for one day. Not for 2 days. Not for 5 days. Not for 10 days. Not for 20 days. But God said, you're going to have flesh for one entire month. Now these people were not in Egypt. They were in the wilderness. They were in a place where there was seeming no flesh at all. But God said, you're going to have flesh for 30 days. He went on to say, you're going to eat so much meat until it's going to come out of your nostrils. And Moses came to God and said, God, did you know what you just said? And the Lord said, yes, I did. Moses said, you just said that you're going to provide enough meat for us out here in no man's land so that we can have meat for not one day. And the Lord used these very numbers, not 2 days, not 5 days, not 10 days, not 20 days, but 1 month. Lord, did you know that's what you said? And the Lord said, yes, that's what I said. And Moses said, there are 600,000 footmen alone with us. Listen, young people, listen. 600,000 footmen alone. Why, I think there probably were 2.5 to 3.5 million Jews. And Moses said, God, when this word gets around what you said, folks are going to doubt that you already know what you're talking about. You said we could have flesh for 30 days for 2 to 3.5 million Jews, 600,000 footmen alone. And the Lord said in Numbers 11, verse 23, is the Lord's hand waxed short? Is the Lord's hand waxed short? What God was saying, is there anything my hand cannot do? He said to Abraham, is anything too hard for the Lord? He said to Moses, is the Lord's hand waxed short? No, God's hand is not waxed short. And God has nothing too hard for him to do. God will do what we believe God will do. God can do anything, nothing too hard for the Lord. When Job got boastful after he had made that marvelous stand for God, had not turned upon God in spite of the fact that seemingly he had lost everything. He had lost all of his wealth. He had lost his health. He had lost the loyalty of his wife. He had lost the life of his 10 children. And Job was sitting in the ash heap, scraping his body with a piece of metal in the garbage dump of the city outside the city limits. And Job looked up and said, that though he slay me, yet will I trust him. I know that my Redeemer liveth. After that marvelous, marvelous demonstration of faith in God, Job did what so many of us do after great victories. Job got proud. The Lord came to Job and said, Job, why do you think you're so hot? Where were you when I laid the foundation? Where were you when I poured the cornerstone of the world? Job, did you ever make the sun to rise? Did you ever cause it to snow? Did you ever bring hail upon the earth? Did you ever cause a rainstorm? Did you ever send lightning upon the earth? Did you ever feed a raven? Did you ever make the wings of peacocks and the feathers of ostrich? Did you ever make a hawk to fly or an eagle to mount up and take off like a plane? Job, where were you? And then God said these words, I am the Almighty. I am the Almighty. Would God tonight we could learn to believe that with God that there's nothing too hard for the Lord. Would God we could learn to believe God's hand is not short. God's hand is not wax short. And God is the Almighty. What he means there, I have all strength. I have all strength. When God miraculously gave Hananel's field to Jeremiah, Jeremiah could not believe that God had done such a miracle. And then finally when the miracle came in Jeremiah 32:17, Jeremiah gives us this marvelous statement in answer to the question in Genesis 18:14, really, when it says, there is nothing too hard for the Lord. Nothing too hard for the Lord. Is there anything that God cannot do? No. Is God limited? No. Can God do anything? Yes. Does God have all power? That's right. Is anything too hard for God? No. Is God's hand wax short? No. 10,000 times no. God is what He always was. I am so sick of littleness on the part of God's people, God's preachers, and God's churches. I just do not know what to do. Why doesn't somebody realize we have a big God? If God can part the Red Sea for Moses, God can do miracles for us. But you say, the Lord, this is the age when the Lord is old. As Dr. John Rice says, the Lord's old and tired and he's got lumbago. And he's needs not what he's using. Is eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow you'll be raptured. And no. That kind of people don't get the job done. But listen, wherever there's been a man of God, and wherever there's been a people of God, ever since God made Adam in Eden's garden, wherever there has been a man who believed God, and a people who believed God, God has shown miracles, and God has shown His arm not short, and His hands not heavy, and God has let us know He can and wants to and will do in any generation what He said He would do and give miracles beyond compare. When the rich young ruler came to Jesus and asked Him what He could do that He might inherit eternal life, Jesus tested His sincerity and quoted a few of the commandments. He said, these have I done my youth up. Jesus told him, He said, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven. And the rich young ruler asked Him this question, who then can be saved? And Jesus came back with this amazing statement, with God, all things are possible. Hey, wouldn't it be a wonderful thing tonight if we could walk out these doors believing these five statements? Number one, is anything too hard for the Lord? Number two, is the Lord's hand wax short? Number three, I am the Almighty. Number four, there is nothing too hard for God. Number five, with God, all things are possible. When the powerless disciples were without our Savior, when He was on the Mount of Transfiguration, there came a father with a son possessed of a devil. The son would gnaw and gnash his teeth. He would rip off his clothing. I mentioned it last week. He was one of the original streakers. By the way, isn't it a sad thing that they'll allow things to go on at the White Sox ball field that they allowed to go on the other day? They don't have to put up with stuff like that. I tell you what you do. You let somebody walk out in the field and pass out gospel tracts and witness to those fellows on the base path, and they'll put them in jail. And a bunch of dirty, sex-minded exhibitionists will run around naked out there, and they'll stand. Why? They're afraid they want to cause any trouble. I'll tell you one thing, brother. As long as they can do that, you just dare anybody to try to keep us from passing out tracts on the street corner or witnessing to folks. I mean, you just dare anybody. As long as streakers can run wild, soul winners can too. When the powerless disciples, when this father came and said, what can you do with my son? My son tears his clothes off and throws himself in the fire. And he lies down sometimes unconscious. What can you do? And the disciples said they could do nothing. And Jesus came down from the mountain. And he heard the multitude, and the man came to Jesus and said, I went to your disciples, and they couldn't do anything. He said, if thou canst do anything, have mercy on us. And Jesus made this wonderful statement. He said, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Did you get that? All things, Mark 9:23, all things are possible to him that believeth. Hear those six statements. Is anything too hard for God? Here again, is the Lord's hand wax short? Here again, I am the Almighty. Here again, there's nothing too hard for God. Here again, with God, all things are possible. Here again, all things are possible to him that believeth. That's all things. You say, hold it, preacher. Hold it now. Wait a minute. There's a limit. All things. Preacher, do you mean that means that we could have 20,000 in Sunday school? All things are possible to him that believeth. You say, preacher, do you mean that? Do you think we can keep on going and keep on going and keep on going and keep on going? All things are possible. Well, you say, Brother Hiles, you've been pastor here 15 years. We started off back yonder 14 years ago running 700 in Sunday school. And now 13,000 in Sunday school. And here we have two grade schools and a high school. And now a college, and now a new campus we're launching, entering. And Brother Hiles, if you're here 15 more years, what in the world will happen in 15 more years? Well, I'll be behind bars out at Westville looking through. I'll write you some prison epistles from out there. But no. God with God, nothing is impossible. You say you mean in 15 more years we could run 26,000 in Sunday school? Yep, that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. There is nothing too hard for God. There is nothing impossible with the Lord. With God, nothing shall be impossible. All things are possible to him that believeth. Everything is possible. You say, preacher, look, good night. We own half the town now. Well, okay, let's shoot for the other half. What do you say? Oh, if I could tonight reach out and grab you good and hard and make you realize that the God who's brought us thus far will be alive for 15 more years. Amen. Yes, he will. Yes, he will. But you say, preacher, I'm nervous. I mean, we're way out here on a limb. I know it, but brother, the trip back toward the limb is more dangerous than on out. So just keep on going. God's, the tree's going to get longer, and the limb's going to get longer. There's nothing too hard for God. While you say, preacher, does that mean God will heal me of my cancer? The Bible says, all things are possible to him that believeth. You say, preacher, do you mean that God could bring my wayward son back who's living a life in sin and in dope? With God, all things are possible. All things are possible to him that believeth. When the angel announced to Mary in our scripture verse we read a while ago, the coming of the Christ child, the angel came and said, you're going to have a baby. And Mary said, I don't even know a man. I'm not even married. I've never even known a man in a fleshly relationship. How in the world can you say I'm going to have a baby? And the scripture comes back and says, with God, nothing can be impossible. Now listen to me. If God can take the womb of a 90-year-old woman and the seed of a 100-year-old man and bring forth a man who fathers an entire nation. If God can feed 3.5 million Jews flesh for a month in the arid wilderness, if God can bring life in the womb of a virgin, if God can cause the lame to leap like a hart and the dumb to speak, and the blind to see, if God can cause the sun to stand still and Joshua to make the sun do obeisance to him, if God can part the Red Sea for Moses, if God could do what he's done in this book, and if it's true, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, forever. And don't you think God can see us on to greater victories than we've ever known before? Amen. Yes, he can. Yes, he can. We face tonight, here at First Baptist Church, another challenge. It seems like we go from one crisis to another. Thank God. But you say, preacher, the devil's fighting. Listen, Brother Vineyard, that's one reason why I know what we did last Wednesday night was of God. Has the devil ever fought us any more than he's fought us this week? I do not recall. I do not recall ever, ever, when the devil launched as many attacks. You know why? He's trying to keep us from going forward. That dirty, stinking buzzard, I hate him more every day. Every day. I hate what he's doing to our nation. I hate what he's doing to our young people. I hate what he's doing to our colleges. I hate what he's doing to our high schools. I hate what he's doing to our homes. I hate what he's doing to our men. I hate what he's doing to our young ladies. I hate what he's doing to our business. I hate what he's doing to our White House. I hate what he's doing to our Supreme Court. I hate what he's doing to our Congress. I hate what he's doing to our laws. I hate what he's doing to our character. I hate what he's doing to our policemen. I hate what he's doing to those in places of high authority. I hate what he's doing to our churches. I hate what he's doing to our colleges. I hate what he's doing to our seminaries. I hate what he's doing to our preachers. I hate what he's doing to our professors. Let me tell you something. If there ever was a day when God's people ought to stand shoulder to shoulder and launch an all-out attack on the devil, it's today. I mean today, the dirty rascals trying to destroy. But let me tell you something. He who is in us is greater than he who is in the world. We have no reason to lose. We have no reason to lose. As I said this morning, we have no reason to fear. No reason whatsoever. If God can take a little Texas preacher with an accent so Texan that many of you could not even understand me while I preached 14, 15 years ago. And judging from the way you live, some of you still haven't understood what I've been preaching. If God can take a little Texan and bring him up north, God can see us through this great program of raising $2.5 million in 1 year and 9 months to buy the college that we just voted to purchase. If God can keep me up here, somebody gave me a little cartoon a while ago. Has a fellow, picture of a fellow going down the highway, and it has a big sign that says, "You're leaving Texas." No, you're now leaving Texas, fool. I am that fool. If God can bring a Texan to the Chicago area, keep him here, and make you want to keep him here, God can see us through this crisis. If God could come down, listen, brother, $2.5 million to us tonight is not near as challenging as a couple of hundred thousand would have been 14 years ago. If God can see this church, keep this church from bankruptcy, why, everybody in town that had any business sense at all said that 14 years ago, this church couldn't pay its bills. We'd go bankrupt. If God can see us through those days when my life was threatened and they tried to burn, not the folks that left the church, but people tried to burn our house. Every morning I'd go out and a new realty company had a for sale sign up in front of the house. If God can see us through those days, and bring from the rubble that seemed to be left here 14 years ago the biggest church and the greatest soul-winning church in the world, God can certainly give us that cottage out yonder in the Crown Point area. God can keep us through these years. If God can put this building here, well, I don't know whether you know it or not. Close the door back in the back, please. I don't know whether you know it or not. I want to talk to you tonight in the most serious manner. I want nobody moving around. This is a dead serious service. If God can place this building, we couldn't find any money for this building. Well, I can recall getting some blueprints and trotting up and down the street from lending institution, trying to borrow some money. I can recall getting a form letter and having that form letter typed into a personal letter and sending it around the country to lending institutions, trying to find some money to build this building. Back in the days when everything was against us. Back in the days when it seemed like all of hell's forces were turned loose against this church. If God can put this building here, God can give us the $2.5 million that we need. Amen. Did you know this building was dedicated 10 years ago, day before yesterday? On my father's birthday, April 5th, 1964, this building was dedicated. More people have been saved in this room than in any room in the history of this nation, and probably any room in the history of this world. If God can see us through what happened 2 months to the day after that this building was dedicated, 2 months to the day, April 5, this building was dedicated. Beautiful, gorgeous, shiny, new, so proud we were. 2 months to the day, the fire chief called me 1 o'clock in the morning and said, "Your church is burning. Building over here burned. One over here burned to the ground." And I stood here 2 months after we dedicated this beautiful building and saw water up to my ankles on these carpets. I saw this building so that the smoke was so thick you could not even see your hand in front. I saw it after they got the smoke cleared out enough where we could even enter. I saw the firemen in this beautiful building standing in water up to their ankles in boots. I saw them take axes and chop that wall, big holes that big around in that wall, 6 feet or 8 feet in diameter in that wall, so they could shoot the water over there into that building that was burning. And I saw this building, I thought, going up in flames. The Saturday night before the fire, our deacon board had received information from the insurance company that said you would have to raise your insurance because your fire doors aren't good enough. They won't hold. You've got to have fire doors that'll take care and save this building in case this building or that building is destroyed. Well, I don't know whether those fire doors held up or not, but hallelujah, blessed be God. A God put an angel right back there, an angel right back here, and this building was spared, thank God. If God can see this church through those days, we walked in here that morning. This lovely building was covered with smoke, 2 months old. We had sacrificed our blood to put it here. We had given many of us all the money we had on the face of this earth to put this building here. And the walls were stained with smoke, and the carpet was ruined. And we had plastic runners down the aisles, and we assembled here, didn't have a nursery, had to use the hallways for a nursery for months and months and months. But 1,900 people came to Sunday school that morning, one of the biggest days we ever had. No place to meet. Jim Lyons taught the Sunday school class to lesson everybody, and I preached the sermon. If God can see us through those days, if we can stand across the street and watch our buildings go up in fire and weep together and mix our tears and say, "We'll not be licked. We'll rise and fight again. We'll let them burn our buildings and let them arson, destroy half of our property. We'll not be defeated. We'll not be destroyed. We'll not turn back." This church can go forward today like she could 10 years ago.
Amen.
God can put this building and keep the building here through the fire. God can get us on our feet and we could rise and build again. If God can give us the Wolf's Furniture Store, Wolf's Cleaners across the street, and the Estes Furniture Company across the alley, and the Worth Building across the alley, and the Hatchery across the street, and all the apartment houses and houses up and down that street, and now the Seifer Building. If God can give us that beautiful little grade school down here, $500,000 valuation, not including the furnishings. If God can give us the property and the furnishings for $155,000. If God can give us a three-story high school out in Calumet Township for $35,000, where our kids went to school for 2 years. If God can give us that little swamp land out there in Cherryville and make a college and a high school and a grade school out of it. If God can in 6.5 months lead Al Gomez and other faithful workers to put a college up in 6.5 months from a wilderness, not even improved. No roads, no sewer, no gas, no lights, no water. And in 6 months, clear it all. Build streets, build curves, build sidewalks, and build a college and open the doors in 6 months. If God can do that, if God can help us here in this least likely place in America, to build the world's largest Sunday school. When people hear about the world's largest Sunday school, they think inevitably about a beautiful campus-like church out in the edge of town, out in suburbia, out on some main thoroughfare, out on some highway or interstate highway. But right here in the least likely place in this entire area, God has raised up the biggest Sunday school and biggest church in the whole world. If God can do that, people are always amazed when they come. and see where the location is of our church. Hundreds of preachers have come and said, we'll do it at our place if they can do it there. If God can put us here in the downtown Hammond. Did you know the merchants in downtown Hammond beg us to stay here? Yesterday I told a man, merchant downtown Hammond, I told him about us buying the college, building the Catholic college building for $2.5 million. And boy, he stood up erect and he said, you're not leaving downtown Hammond, are you? I said, no, we're not. But if God can bring this kind of a crowd, most downtown churches in areas like this tonight are being sold for rescue missions or halfway houses. I do not know of over one or two other churches in America, the downtown area, even thriving at all. If God can right here in this least likely place put the world's largest Sunday school, if God can, listen to this one, if God can take one of the most Catholic areas in the world and make it in 15 years a center of fundamentalism, if God can give us the high school, the college, if God can give us money to make it all these years, if God can give us the two grade schools, if God can do that, I believe in the crown of my head, the sole of my feet, God can give us $2.5 million within a matter of 1 year and 9 months. Amen? Yes, He can. Yes, He can. Yes, He can. I come to you tonight saying that I've never asked anybody in this church for a thing for myself. Never. Never. In fact, every time I preach a sermon like this, it costs me about everything I've got. But here's what I'm asking. I'm asking for us to pray like we've never prayed before. I want us 1 year and 9 months from now to write a check for $2,500,000 and fork it over to the Catholics. I mean, I want us to enter that building out there, and I want us within a couple of years to say, it's ours. It's ours. You say, preacher, $2.5 million. He owns the cattle on a thousand hills. Amen. The gold in every mine. He owns the rivers and the rocks and rills, the moon and stars that shine. Wonderful riches more than tongue can tell. They're my Father, so they're mine as well. He owns the cattle on a thousand hills. I know that He will care for me. I believe God's going to raise up friends. Listen, I believe God's going to raise up friends to this work we've never known before. I think God's going to open hearts and pocketbooks across this nation. I think you're going to find people that our nation, I mean even unconverted people, many of them are getting sick and tired of this rotten, hippie kind of long-haired, freakish, streaking kind of generation. Oh, more and more and more, more and more and more people are calling me. Catholic people call me and want to teach in our schools. Jewish people call and want to teach in our schools. I say, why? And they say we're fed up to here with the godlessness, dope, the liquor, the cursing, the evolution, the lack of respect for authority and decency. Brother, the old tide is beginning to turn. Yes, it is. You don't have to compromise to build a great church. You don't have to bow, tip your flag to build a great church. You don't have to change your convictions. God is vindicating today the convictions on which we've stood for all these years. Let me just say now, we're just going to keep right on going the same old trail too. Yes, we are. And you mark it down. There are thousands and thousands of people right here in this Calumet area who have found out that the liberalism won't work and permissiveness won't work. And not disciplining children won't work. And doing away with the paddle won't work. And not having authority won't work. And outlawing capital punishment won't work. Brother, they are finding out one thing that every generation has to find out. Nothing will work for human sanity, decency, and organization, and even perpetuity, unless it's right here in this book. Right here in this book. So we plan to keep on going. And God's going to raise up some friends. Yes, He is. Yes, He is. Well, you say, Brother Hiles, where you preach, folks always say, where you preach, you're going to chase them off. Well, we need the room anyway. Not one time in 15 years. Not one time in 15 years. And you know this is true. Has the message been trimmed one iota from this pulpit? Doesn't matter who walks in those doors, be rich or poor, high or low, be he the poorest man in town or the richest man in town, everybody gets exactly alike. And nobody's ever trimmed it in this way. Now I'm saying, if God be God, he has to vindicate that stand. And now tonight, our young people can walk with decent length skirts and good haircuts across a prettier campus than the Purdue Extension can streak across. Is it true or not? With God, all things are possible.
Amen.
I mean, is it true that there's nothing too hard for God? Is it true the Lord's arm is not short? Is it true that His hand is not heavy? Is it true that there's nothing God cannot do? Is it true that to him that believeth, all things are possible? Is it true? Yes, it is. And we're going to find out. We found out. You're sitting tonight on miracle pews in a miracle church. I believe God's going to give us $1 million from our people in the next 1 year and 9 months. You say, I know. I could take everybody in this room tonight and hold him up by the feet and shake him. And take all the bank accounts in this room tonight and add them all up, and it probably wouldn't add up to $1 million. Well, you say, well, how can you get $1 million out of people who don't have $1 million? Same way Jesus got enough food to feed 5,000 out of 5 loaves and 2 fishes. God's going to help some of you folks to get rich. He's got to. He's got to. Skin, flints, and tightwads, don't you get happy about it. No, sir. No, sir. You know what God's going to do? Right now. God's looking down saying, you know, that crazy fool's believing me again. And 4 or 5 of those folks are believing what he's saying tonight, too. Hey, Elijah, look down there. Some of those folks believe the fire really fell. Hey, Joshua, look down there. Some of those crazy folks really believe the sun stood still. Hey, Moses, look down there. Some of those crazy folks still believe the waters of the Red Sea were dried. And God right now he's tapping the shoulder of several rich men across this country. He said, hey, move to Hammond, buddy. Huh? Move to Hammond. Huh? What's God going to do? I don't know what he's going to do, but I know one thing. He's going to do it.
Amen.
He's going to do it. Yeah, he's going to do it. 1,000 people from this church are going to give or raise $1,000 apiece in the next year and 9 months. That's only $11.11, about $12, I guess. A little less than $12 a week. A thousand people. You say, preacher, I don't have $1,000. I don't mean do it yourself. Talk to some friends you've got. Ask them to help. Raise it. Sell candy. Sell cookies. Girl, tell them you're working your way through college. I did that when I was 10. Now you watch it. It'll be in the paper this week. You watch it. It'll be in the paper this week. Hiles tells people to lie about going to college. Did you know without Charlie Brown and Jack Hiles, these papers wouldn't keep in business around here? God's going to lead some of you folks to get jobs, working an extra day a week or half a day or a night so you can make $12 a week and give it to the program to pay off that school out there. You say, well, the house, I don't have any kids in that school. You will. And if you don't, that school right out there in Schererville, Indiana, if I know anything at all about God, is one of the, if not the, biggest hope for this nation alive tonight. You wait till we turn these loud-mouthed fools loose in about 3 or 4 years. Yes, it is. If we don't have some schools to set preachers on fire for God and send them across this nation and get them to build great churches, listen, your kids will be slaves in 10 years. But none of that. If we get in that college, we'll throw open the entire college complex for our high school and grade schools. We'll not be able to turn down one child. Not one. Now, I'm going to be responsible myself. I don't mean raising it from preachers. I mean giving it my... Hey, young people, listen to me! I don't mean giving... I mean giving it myself and raising it personally, not from preachers across the country. But I'm going to be responsible myself to put $20,000 out there. I don't have $20,000, but I'm going to put $20,000. I'm going to get it. What you going to do? Well, would you believe rob a bank? After all, Wells Walker is a member here, and he has the keys. If that bank is robbed tonight, I'll be in jail by sunup. I really will. I really will. Dear Father, don't let that bank get robbed tonight. I'm looking at people right now. God is going to give you $1,000,000. $1,000. God's going to lead some of you to give $10,000 before January 1st, 1976, when we have to pay off the building. Here's what you can do. You can pay $12 a week. You can earn $12 a week somewhere on the side. Your investment in the future of America. Well, I've never seen our folks so excited about anything in my life. Man, people are talking about how they can get their $1,000. People that don't make enough, really, that make little enough be on welfare, if they would be on welfare, have already told me they're giving $1,000. That means you can pay it $12 a week. It means you can earn it $12 a week. Or it means that you can get your house in order so that by the end of 1975, you can go down and borrow it and then pay it off over the next 2 years. That way you can stretch it out 4 years. Now, 1,000 of us. If 1,000 of us in this room tonight, if 1,000, I'm talking about high school kids. I'm talking about ladies who will get a job working a day a week on the side or a night or a job where they can work at home. One lady said, I'm going to take in ironing and washing. I want to have a part in saving this nation. Some people are going to give $10,000, some $20,000, some $30,000. I'm confident that some people are going to give $50,000. I believe God's going to give us from two or three folks at least $100,000 apiece. You say, preacher, have you lost your mind? No, found it. Found it. Some of you visitors tonight, if you ever want to do anything for God, here's the chance for you to do it. And to some of you people, $100,000 wouldn't be anywhere near what $20,000 would be to me. I mean, tonight, if I sold everything I have, and stole everything the neighbors have, I wouldn't have $20,000. But I'm going to get it. Say, where? I was going to get it. How you know? I just know. Who said it? All things are possible to him that believeth. And I believe God's going to give us $1,000,000 from around this country. I believe God's going to give us $1,000,000. 1,000 people giving $1,000. I believe God's going to give us $500,000 from people giving big gifts. I believe God's going to give us $500,000 from our college students. Where are all those glories? Where are all those amen? Where'd they all go? All of a sudden, our college students sound like an Episcopalian at a funeral. Yeah, I believe God's going to send our student body home. I believe practically every student we have is going to go home with family and friends and church, and I believe many of these students are going to raise $1,000. We're going to have a Founders Club. And that gorgeous waiting room out there, Doc, that little entrance when you go into that college on the left. We're going to have a gallery of pictures. And a picture of everybody who raises $1,000 for that school is going to be in there. It's going to be the Founders Club. It'll be there as long as that school is there. And you're going to thank God as long as you live. Brother, whether you believe this or not, God's hand is on Hiles Anderson College. Every visitor who comes to our campus who believes this book, every preacher without exception who speaks on our campus says they've never seen anything like it in their life. America needs some colleges that won't bend. America needs some colleges that will be the same tomorrow they were yesterday and the same next year they are this year. And one reason I know our college is not going to bend is because she's going to keep tied on to a church that's not going to bend. And this church happens, whether they like it or not, happens to have preachers not going to bend. And you've got to keep me because you can't afford anybody else. With God, all things are possible. All things. All things. Let's do it. You say, preacher, when are you going to come up with something else? Whenever God sends it down, I'm going to come up with it. I was thinking a while ago about that kid. I told this story so many times, but it builds my faith, and I want to hear me tell it. Out in California, there's a pastor tonight, successful pastor. He walked the aisle in our church in Texas, surrendered his life to preach. He said his wife didn't want to be a preacher's wife, and he's afraid he couldn't make it. I said, boy, just surrender. Just let God have his way. He fell on his face at the altar and began to pray, and he said, dear God, I'm married and got a couple of kids. I'm going to quit my job, and I'm going to preach if it kills me. He said, God, I pray you'd supply my needs. I know you will. Lord, feed my family. He said, Lord, if it's nothing but potted meat, feed us. The service was going on. Invitation being sung. I'm normally not like this, but before I knew it, I took my elbow and hit him in the ribs. He said, why while he's praying? And I said, shut up! And I don't hardly ever do that. I never have done it before, ever in my life besides this time. He said, what's wrong, preacher? I said, don't ask God for potted meat. The Bible doesn't say he owns 1,000 cans of potted meat on a hill. It says he owns a cattle on 1,000 hills. Ask him for some Philip Mignons. T-bones. Sirloins. Old Dr. B.R. Lakin. He has a southern drawl, and somebody came to him and said, Dr. Lakin says, is it true you drive a Cadillac? I heard rumors you drive a Cadillac. He said, no, I don't drive no Cadillac. He says, my wife drives a Cadillac. I drive a Lincoln Continental. America needs a church to stand out in the forefront and say to all of the churches and all the preachers around the country, hey, can't be done, can it? Look! Amen. And America needs a college, yea, more than one, where parents can work a lifetime and sacrifice and take what they've made over 18 years, write it in a check and send it off to college and go to the bus station or airport and wipe tears of sorrow and joy from the same eyes and say goodbye to their young people and know when their young folks meet them at that same gate at that same airport after 4 years, they'll have not lost, but they'll have gained faith in this Bible. Amen. And they'll be as clean or cleaner than they were when they left home. America needs a college, and college is where soul winning is the biggest thing, and the college and obeying the command of God is the most important thing in this world. America needs a college or colleges where young people can be strengthened in conviction and strengthened in their faith. And could I simply say, hear sermons and be in services like you hear in this place and like you hear in that chapel, and hear teachers like you hear in those halls out there. And brother, I believe God's going to give us here in this place the answer, or at least one of the answers, the cry for America for schools like that.
Amen.
It's not enough for us to stand up and holler and say, the schools that have the girls and boys share dormitories and that communists speak are rotten. Not enough to say that. Time has come. We're going to have to build alternatives. And we have the chance. We have the chance. Let's do it.
Amen.
Did you know the difference in an America that's spared and America that's not spared? It's just that fine line. Let me remind you again what I told you before. Karl Marx came to America. Stayed here for quite a while. Lived in New York. Went to a fundamental church. And almost got saved and would have got saved had it not been for the hypocrites in the church. Mahatma Gandhi considered being saved and trusting Christ, embracing Christianity, and he said he would have had it not been for the inconsistent lives of the Christian people. Joe Stalin went to an Orthodox seminary, considered entering the ministry, but didn't because of unfaithful Christian people, people that weren't consistent. Sirhan was a member of the Sunday school in the First Baptist Church of San Antonio, Texas, and they didn't win him. Richard Speck's mother heard me preach several times in Garland, Texas, when I was pastor there. Heard Dr. Bob Gray make this amazing statement last week. You call in Houston when that sex maniac killed these little children? Dr. Gray said the next week he went to his church, or a few days later went to his church. And one of his bus captains came running up hollering, "Dr. Gray, Pastor, Brother Gray, Pastor. Two of those little kids killed by that sex maniac were on my bus route. They rode my bus. They came down the aisle and received Christ in this church. They were baptized in our baptistry." Now, brother, we found the answer. But we're not going to be able to propagate that answer until we are willing to keep on going and keep on going, keep on going. I believe it. I believe there's nothing too hard for God. I believe God's hand is not waxed short. I believe He is the Almighty. I believe there's nothing too hard for Him. I believe with God all things are possible. I believe all things are possible to him that believeth. And I believe with God nothing shall be impossible. I challenge you tonight, as I've done for 15 years, almost. I challenge you, let us arise and let's go. Let's go. Let's go. If the communists take over this country, brother, your bank account's going to all be left anyway. I'd rather invest mine for the saving of the country than invest it later to those who destroyed the country. What is a man's life anyway? Let's lay it on the altar and let's do it. Would you bow your heads for prayer, please?